Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party Book.com. I turned on Mike Savage at 6 o'clock sharp, and I was getting ready to enjoy Mike Savage, and my phone rang, and it was Jimmy from Brooklyn. And Jimmy from Brooklyn talked to me till right now, 7:18. So for an hour and 18 minutes, or an hour and 13 minutes, I've been listening only to Jimmy from Brooklyn. And Jimmy from Brooklyn wants me to get the word out that somebody at WABC is blocking him from calling into Bob Grant. He says it's not Bob Grant, but somebody is bird-dogging and keeping him off the air. And Jimmy from Brooklyn has spent his whole life fighting communism. And he knows more about communists than Joseph Stalin. And I hope that anybody who needs an expert on the communist movement, which nobody knows, I tell Jimmy, I say, Jimmy, this generation has no idea. You say the word communist, they don't know what you're talking about. And I happen to mention that I get a lot of old-timers that come into my place, and they'll say they can't even speak up in their own house because their kids have labeled them over-patriotic, and they've labeled them right-wing nuts. And he goes, well, that's their fault, that they should be telling them the evils of communism, and they shouldn't stop talking. So it's really sad, absolutely sad. And if you want to see how well communism works, go to any public school and see who stands up to say the Pledge of Allegiance. And then you think about all the guys who died so that you have the right to say the Pledge of Allegiance. And there's a school on Staten Island that has a broken flagpole, and nobody's fixing it. How's that? That's their excuse for not flying the flag. The pole is broken. If they went and called any veterans group, they'd have a flagpole tomorrow. Did you see this new presidential State of the Union budget? Huh? Did you see how much we're in the hole for? I don't feel poor anymore. My government is poorer than I am. Yeah. Oh, my God. Hey, and what's the Iranians doing in Venezuela? What is Ahmadinejad doing down in Venezuela? Is it true that the communists have taken over Islam? You know, I spoke to a guy in Iraq before the first elections, you know, before the Purple Finger people. And I said to him, who's going to win this election? And he goes, well, it's very close. And at the time, he thought it might be the Shia party. And then he thought it might be the Sunni party. And the third largest party, according to this conversation, you'll have to verify it, because I was stunned by it, is the Communist Party. So, could it be? I mean, when Hugo Chavez buys $4 billion worth of AK-47s to gun down his people who put him in office, that's a lot of AK-47s, man. You think about that. And two submarines. What are the submarines for? To get rid of the bodies? Yeah. Now when the knock on the door comes, you have to wear your sailor suit. You have to have scuba gear. You better be ready. There's a big communist takeover, and you heard tonight that Lech Walesa has said the United States is no longer the Statue of Liberty. Why is he saying that? You know why? Because he got betrayed by Osama bin Laden. My question is, I went out to Memory, that's an Arab watchdog group, and I've asked them, is it possible that the communist movement, that the KGB has infiltrated Islam? Wouldn't that be interesting to find out that we're all dupes? We're all useful idiots. Let me give you a pro-American tune and we'll get the show started. I'd like to dedicate this tune to Osama bin Laden, to Eric Holder, and all his other accomplices. To Sheikh Khalid Mohammed, to Zarqawi, who got two 500-pound bombs in Iraq for being bad, to Chuck Schumer, who didn't say boo when Eric Holder announced they were going to hold the trials for Muslim terrorists across the street from the crime scene. That isn't a crime scene, my friend. That's a battleground. That's the biggest defeat in American history. Don't look at it any other way. Not at all. Don't look at it any other way. And I heard tonight, listening to Steve Malzberg on the way home, that George Bush, after 9-1-1, had told his people not to blame it on Clinton. Let me tell you something, George. That was your first mistake. And that's why you didn't get an act of war. It was the Clinton Towers that came down, and you got left holding the bag. And they accused you of taking 7 minutes to get on a plane to go hide. America was on the run that day. We were under siege all over the country. And the first terrorist landed at Logan Airport, the home of Ted Kennedy, who is now working boiler number 3 in hell. Let me dedicate this to all you Muslim terrorists out there, both overseas and here in the United States. I'm dedicating this to the 48 senators who voted to burn the American flag 40 days before 9-1-1, and nobody knows it. You won't even know when you lose your country. You know why? Because you're watching NBC. Hello? Yes, yes, I just played that Onward Christian Soldiers. It's a violation of church and state? Oh, no, no, no. Thomas Jefferson made a quillo. It's supposed to be separation of church and snake. But you know what? To make you feel better, I'll play something that's more secular. I'll play the second choice for the national anthem that was beat out by the Star Spangled Banner. How's that? Will that make you feel better?
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed his fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Of 100 circling camps, they have built for him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamp. His is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Figures you and me, as he died to make men whole, let us live to make men free, while God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Got a flash bulletin from Politico.com. Anytime the Democrats do something, Politico announces it right away. They must have an inside straight. And the big bulletin is that John Murtha is in intensive care after having gallbladder surgery. So I send a one-word reply. Good. Now, you can take that two ways. See, if I get arrested by the Gestapo and they'll say, what did you mean by good? I'll say, oh, good, that he's recovering. But in my heart of hearts, it'll be good that he went under the knife. And anything can go wrong when you go under the knife. As a matter of fact, in my dream, he awakens, comes out of the anesthesia, in a bed with a cross on the wall, and a saintly nun looking down on him and praying over him, while she hooks up his life support system to the tropical fish tank. Yeah, John Murtha, the most hated Marine in history. He passed Lee Harvey Oswald. He's got his own airport in Pennsylvania with your tax money. You know, that day you went out in the cold and the rain, that early morning your kids were sick, your wife was in a bad mood and she was going out, and when you got back to pay the taxes on the second job, and John Murtha was building an airport so he could be comfortable. And Nancy Pelosi landed on the airstrip, and you know what? They dined in the plane, and they sent the caviar back. Hiya, boys and girls, it's Captain Boycott. And there's a lot of talk about the Democrats are taking over, and they're spending money like it's never going out of style. I understand that Nancy Pelosi wants a C-257 or something like that, a big Boeing. So I thought I would sing a song about it. And there's an old Joe Cocker song called My Baby Just Wrote Me a Letter. So I'm going to do it for you in my American brogue. We may need a ticket for an airplane. Murtha refuses to take a fast train. Humble days are gone. The Dems are carrying on. Pelosi just wrote me a letter. She don't care how much money you throw away. She's got to get back to San Francisco every day. 2 hours in D.C., and then she's going home. Stick around, the story gets better. She wants a jumbo jet that can fit her lifestyle. Yay, 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 yay. One with a shower and a 42-seat aisle that can take her away. Listen, Mr. Taxpayer, it's only 300 G's a ride. And the 42 toilet seats are made of Norgahyde. Democrat days are back, and you're paying the tax. Pelosi just wrote me a letter. I stand in line for an airplane. Half my country's using cocaine. Humble days have vanished. Christians are being banished. Pelosi just wrote me a letter. She is holding back money for the troops in Iraq, but for her entourage, the masseuse is back. Look first, madam, at what you've done. Why not get a dragon ship and kill everyone? Give me my ticket for my airplane. Search that imam on the express lane. 9/11 days are here. I'm crying in my beer. Pelosi just wrote me a letter. The stakeout at Burger King is complete. The entire building is surrounded. And here comes the first, a fat 10-year-old. Excuse me, son. What's that behind your back? It's a cheeseburger. Son, you're under arrest. You're overweight. Sergeant, read him his merengue rights.
Para aquellos que usan las armas, para aquellos que nos contaminan, para aquellos que hacen la guerra, para aquellos que viven pecando, para aquellos que nos maltratan, para aquellos que nos contagian.
I just got a bulletin from Politico. Politico, which looks like it's a front for the Democrats, because they're always announcing good news for the Democrats. And here's their latest bulletin. The underwear bomber has begun cooperating with FBI counterterrorism agents and has provided useful current intelligence a law enforcement source told a Politico. The source said it started last week and has continued for several days. BS, I say. I say they're so embarrassed at how incompetent they are that they allowed this guy to lawyer up after 50 minutes of watching him writhe in a bed. Okay? And now all of a sudden he's releasing information. Suppose he was on, that was Christmas Day, right? What is this? This is the 2nd of February already. Suppose there were four other planes in the air that day, and he knew of two of them. Well, he has the right to remain silent. Yeah. Thank you, Charlie Chrysler. Yeah, I don't buy anything. This administration is so weak, it's unbelievable. Our enemies can smell it. It's like a dog that can smell fear. But we've got other fish to fry. We've got big problems, and our government is taking care of them. And the title of this blog is called Help, I'm a Prisoner of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. This is the biggest intelligence blunder. We're going to out the boys wearing pink panties. And they're supposed to be for the heads in Abu Ghraib. You're out of uniform, soldier. The Russian military scrapped their old hardware when the wall came down. Did we really win that war or what? Jimmy from Brooklyn says they're playing chess and we're playing checkers and they're moving our checkers. Jimmy from Brooklyn says all the conservatives can't admit that the Russians are winning because it will discredit Ronald Reagan. You got to give credit where credit is due. The Russian military scrapped their old hardware, which they're doing now. Yesterday they showed the latest fighter jet the Russians have come out with, and it's a stealth type of fighter, and it's their latest state of the art. They're now coming out with a super submarine. So they're rebuilding their military. So they forced Obama to sell out Poland and Czechoslovakia. And now they are building the most modern offensive force in the world. And China is doing likewise, plus a cyber warfare superiority. Sure, we can do business with them before we kill them. The Americans say nobody kills their good customers, but the Russians say we can always get other customers. 1,600 missiles are pointed at Taiwan, just waiting for Obama to back off. Former allies see the weakness of the USA and want to be allied with the winner. Once again, we will be Sputniked. Israel and Taiwan know they can't count on the socialist USA. It is only a matter of time when oil hits $120 a barrel and the oil shakes will ask to be paid in euros. Lech Walesa said yesterday, America is no longer the light of liberty. Even Haitians are taking Americans hostage. Our industrial power has been deported by the EPA and the ACLU. All that is left is the office, and the leeches in government will drive them away also. Sheikh Maktoum of the United Arab Emirates tomorrow would give Exxon 500 years no taxes to relocate. And the stock market rally yesterday was due to Exxon's earnings, which Shylock Schumer covets. Every 401k holder in the United States owns Exxon. This made in USA company already moved once from Schumer's leeches in New York and they fled to Virginia. Now this New York, a flag-burning, baby-killing senator who picks Senate candidates for Ohio, want to push them out of Virginia. Now, Schumer's up for election, and the Republicans don't want to compete against him. When Schumer was up last time, Bush gave him a walk-on. Bush gave Corzine a walk-on. Bush didn't even come up and fight for those two states. He didn't. You check the records. He didn't come. And he was told by the DNC, the party of death, you better not bring up 911 if you know what's good for you. And he didn't. I would have shoved 911 up their nose. I would have, today, as you sit in front of the TV, I'd show you the pictures of those people jumping out of the buildings. I would never let you forget
9 years later, we still got two holes in the ground. I would never let you forget. There would be a stamp showing those pitchers trapped above, those people trapped above the 80th floor. There would be a stamp showing that plane going into the towers. Our industrial power has been deported by the EPA and the ACLU. America is like a baby elephant, not able to keep up with the herd as a pride of lions closes in. We can't even protect our cities and borders. And not only that, they're not telling you this, but we're stretched too thin. The Chinese aren't stretched too thin. They could lose 2 million men tomorrow and not bat an eye. We had 60,000 Fort Hood troops taken hostage by a major Muslim, and we had to call the cops. On 9-1-1, the Pentagon did not have one rooftop missile that every Afghan cave has. Now we have Admiral Lemon attacking Don't Ask, Don't Smell. The American military has been reduced by ACLU JAGs to the morale equivalent of the NYPD, which is at an all-time low, my friends. People can't wait to get out. And people don't want to join. So as the clouds of war become obvious and the possibility that one day martial law will run in the streets of a country under siege, who gave us that wooden horse? Tonight we have a sissy, a Secretary of Defense, he is no Rumsfeld Marshal, saying he is forming a committee to look into who wears pink panties in the foxhole. Everybody should come out of the bunker. There used to be a joke about two guys watching the Staten Island Ferry docking, and one guy said, "What's that?" And he says, "It's the Staten Island Ferry." He says, "I didn't know we had a Navy. I think we're going to have one soon. We're in big trouble. Sorry, Grandpa, we blew it. The legacy is gone. It is every whatever for itself." And last heard on the Titanic, a women and children first, except Barney Frank and Fanny Frick. Hang in there, I'll give you a tune, then we're going to talk about... The tune is Comme Toi. A lot of Iranians speak French. You know how they say a thank you in Iranian, in Farsi, merci. And so I dedicate that little small piece of Comme Toi to the Iranians who are being hanged for demonstrating against their government. And this government is doing nothing about it. But they can't even protect Americans in Haiti. This government is going to deliver more dead bodies in 1 year than Bush did in 8. This government is not capable of protecting this country. And those poor Iranians who are out there because they smell freedom. Do you know Iraq is getting ready to surpass Saudi Arabia in the production of oil? Do you know that one day the poorest Iraqi will be richer than the poorest Kuwaiti? If their government doesn't screw them out of the money. You think about that. And that's the Bush legacy. He gave Iraq their country back. Whether or not that they keep it, that's up to them. But he set them free. And here, you've got Obama bin Laden, and he's sitting back and he's letting these mullahs terrorize the street people, the students. You ever see these students? You know, when they get arrested, the cops throw them in the trunk of the car. They shoot women in the streets. Girls, young girls that are protesting, they just want a fair shake. And now, they hanged two yesterday, they're going to hang nine more tomorrow. And they have no qualms about hanging women. Sometimes they hang them off the back of tow trucks. Just to set an example. What was her crime? She wore lipstick. Oh. Maybelline, why can't you be true, huh? Give me a break. Okay, we got another problem. We have a guy who is the up-and-coming Osama bin Laden. When we take out Osama, and one day we're going to get him, even if it's by accident, when he is gone, this is the guy who's going to rise up to take his place. He is sitting today in Yemen, which, by the way, is the home of Osama bin Laden's mother. So if you think the Yemenis are going to give up Osama in a negotiated deal for $25 million, no way. They wouldn't do it for a billion. For $2 billion, they would think about it. This guy is an American citizen, and the charge is treason. It is time for Gitmo or ACLU headquarters at the White House. He's born in Las Cruces, La Crosse, New Mexico. And he betrayed his country, and now he squats in Yemen. And he trained Major Muslim Hassan in mental jihad. 18 times they had visited each other on the web. And his name is Awali. And now I have a picture of him, and he's squatting in front of the Quran. You know, the book of murder. Yeah. They call it the Holy Quran, but actually it's a how to kill your neighbor book. And jihad is a Muslim word, and so is kafir. I'm just waiting in line to see the doctor, and there's a picture of Major Hassan, not in the outfit that the communist media, the New York Slimes, the Boston Globe, Newsweek, Chris Matthews, and the Marine Killers on NBC, CBS, CNN, not the pictures that they show you that they want you to see him in his American uniform with a smile on his face. I got him in his jihad pajamas getting coffee just before he goes in to kill 13 Americans and wound 30 others and take 60,000 hostages. That's what one guy did at Fort Hood, Texas. Somebody spoofed them. They got them dressed in a Palestinian martyr's outfit with the green bandana and an AK-47. And I put the caption underneath it, "I'm just waiting in line to see the doctor." Major Muslim Hassan's claim to fame, he took 60,000 Americans hostage. But was he read his rights? That is two Americans for Islam and how many passports? You think if we win the debate against these Muslim terrorists, these bad Muslims who are killing good Muslims, you think if we win the debate, will they go away? No, only after all the blood is drained from your neck. They'll hang you upside down to get the good drain. Hey, this is a great idea for a Hollywood movie. The Muslim vampire that attacked Brooklyn. Would that be kosher? Allah bless America. La fosse n'est pas bonne, mais l'on peut y voir le bonheur en personne et la douceur d'un soir. Il aimait la musique, surtout Schumann et puis Mozart. Comme toi. Speaking of traitors who betrayed America, how about Nancy Pelosi's extravagance? You know that she had a big plane that went she got a giant plane from the Air Force to go to Syria? And while they were partying on the plane, Kucinich sent the caviar back. Little Congress Mouse, a communist Congress Mouse Kucinich, who sounds like he's for the people, but he really wants to be commissar.
He wants to be in charge of the people. He doesn't want to serve them. He wants to be in charge and watch them. So he sent the caviar back on the Pelosi junket. He was on that flight also. They flew to Syria, and she needed a superjet to go lick the ankles of Bashar al-Assad, the IED distributor of Syria and Iran. Yet she never visited the troops down the street with burned-off faces. She only asked Bashar to close the palace windows to drown out the screams of the Americans and the Iraqis. Did she offer to fly any American bodies home on that big Air Force jet? I doubt it. How many times do you think Joe Biden has been to Dover Air Force Base? 4,500 Americans have come home in coffins. How many times do you think Joe Biden went to say he was sorry for voting to burn their flag? You talk about traitors. There's 48 senators who voted to burn the flag 40 days before 9/11. And that's hidden from you. Because how can you be controlled once you know freedom? And I got a picture of Nancy, and she's sitting in a chair in front of an ottoman, and she's talking to Bashar al-Assad. And I also have a picture of Jimmy Carter sitting in the same chair talking to Bashar al-Assad. And I also have a picture, and don't forget, Bashar al-Assad killed the Prime Minister of Lebanon. He blew a hole in the road so big that they had to go down with ropes. How's that? Bashar al-Assad, the IED distributor. And there's Nancy Pelosi, Jimmy Carter, and Nancy sent Senator Bill Nelson a month before she went to do the preliminary bootlicking and to prepare the way. He was like the precursor of Nancy's Hajj to Syria. He was like a John the Bastard. The IEDs are made in Damascus, now have copper lugs instead of nails. Was Nancy at the ribbon-cutting ceremony hosted by the murderer of the Prime Minister of Lebanon and Maronite Christians? Do you know Lebanese people are all over the world? They're scattered like feathers in the wind. They have lost their homeland. The Phoenicians, these people, great traders, great business people, they turned Lebanon into the Paris of the Middle East, and along came the Muslim, the bad Muslims, the naughty Muslims, and they turned it into a sieve. They turned it into rubble. Yep. So, was Nancy at the ribbon-cutting ceremony hosted by the murderer of the Prime Minister of Lebanon and Maronite Christians, not to mention 4,500 legless Americans? Let's see the pile, that pile-high aperitif bill on the plane. Let's have a toast to the sneaker of the house. Did you see the booze she had on the plane? Nolly Pratt? Nolly Pratt, vermouth. She had Jack Daniels. She had a super Russian vodka. I wonder if she drinks that standing up. Yeah, singing the Internationale. Okay, so I've told you all the news of the evening. I'll close this segment out with a tune. Let's see if we can find something American before it's banned. Yes, I'm sorry, my fellow Americans. We had to ban all national tunes because we didn't want to upset the International House of Pancakes. And soon we're going to have to tax maple syrup, except the red stuff. Here's the song Al Gore sang when he was beaten by a Texas cowboy.
I was all right for a while. I could smile for a while. But I saw you last night. You held my hand so tight as you stopped to say hello. Oh, you wished me well. You couldn't tell that me crying. I thought that I was over you, but it's true.
Tonight we're doing a rock and roll back to the 50s. Hang in there. Hold on to your hat. Introduction of rhythm and blues. Some people called it race music. Some people called it rhythm and blues. Doo-wop was just starting out. And the World War II generation, who had grown up on big band, who had fought a war on big band sounds like Benny Goodman, Glenn Miller, Tommy Dorsey, Artie Shaw, they saw the transition that was taking place, and of course their music and lyrics were far superior to what we were trying. But what we were trying was a local talent cutting records. Every neighborhood had a singing group that was trying to cut a record, and it was new, and it was that generation's claim to fame. They didn't want to borrow from the generation before. They wanted to create something new and develop something new. And that's what they did. And you can see the evolution taking place. Today, forget about it. I'd like to go back to the big band sounds of Tommy Dorsey and Glenn Miller. And if you listen to Cole Porter songs, I mean, that guy wrote beautiful music. Absolutely beautiful music. Broadway shows had vocabulary that to this day cannot be topped. Did you ever hear some of the tunes in Kismet? Baubles, Bangles, and Beads, Stranger in Paradise, Gesticulate. If you tell a story, amorous or gory, you can tell it best if you gesticulate. Suppose the mighty Sinbad met a djinn who's been bad. You can guess the rest if you gesticulate. If I tell you I was walking by the beach and found a genie in a bottle, that's right. And the smoke began to swirl and the smoke began to curl. Fantastic music. Look at South Pacific. Look at all of the songs. All of the Broadway shows are from the 50s and the 60s, early 60s. That music cannot be duplicated. As a matter of fact, all Hollywood does now is they do reruns. Some of the songs that you hear people singing, you think they're brand new. They go back to the 30s, the 40s, the 50s. The sounds, the music that this country has had, Dixieland. Did you ever hear a Dixieland tune? Fantastic. There are people all over the world. Do you know in small towns in Brazil, they have Elvis worshiping clubs. They still play Elvis's music. Elvis is a typical example. He was one kid growing up in a poor neighborhood, and he struck it rich. Sadly, drugs got him in the end, which happens to a lot of singers today, performers today. Every time you pick up the newspaper, somebody else is going into rehab. But in its purest form, when new music comes to the stage, it is welcomed, loved, developed, appreciated. And of course, the tune that will always warm the cockles of your heart is the one when you were in your prime, when you were first in love for the first time. That music plays in your head forever. So tonight we're going to take you back to BD, 1950 BD, before drugs, before the dope man found everybody and got their names and addresses. And we'll see if we can bring back musical virginity. And, of course, with the 50s, it came cars and came rock and roll songs about cars and the word daddy-o and cool and square. And it was an innocent time. It was before the pill. If you had a turkey in the oven, you got to baste it 9 months later. And you couldn't bring your friends over to your house to do drugs because your mother was home.
Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started doing the things you used to do. As I was motivating over the hill, I saw Maybelline in a coupe de ville. Cadillac rolling on an open road, nothing out run my vehicle. Cadillac doing about 95, we bumper to bumper rolling side to side. Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started back doing the things you used to do. A Cadillac pulled up to 104, my phone got hot and wouldn't do no more. Gun got cloud and started to rain, I tooted my horn for the passing lane. Rainwater blowing all under my hood, I knew that was doing my motor good. Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started back doing the things you used to do. Thank you.
motor cooled down, the heat went down, and that's when I heard that highway sound. Cadillac setting like a torn leg, 110 and a half a mile ahead. Cadillac looking like it's setting still, and I caught Maybelline at the top of the hill. Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started back doing the thing you used to do.
There were still some crooners out there and some chanteuses that were singing, but more and more doo-wop was coming into play. They still had chanteuses like K-Star.
If the sun should tumble from the sky, if the sea should suddenly run dry, a dream I feel should fall apart, I can still be smiling with my heart. If you love me, really love me, let it happen, darling, I won't care. Shall I catch a shooting star? I can bring it where you are if you'll only say you care. I can make a mountain fall, I'll do anything at all, as long as you are there. When at last our life on earth is through,
drove around town, and the city boys rode the subways.
Round, round, get around, I get around, yeah, get around, round, round, I get around,
I get around.
Cause it wouldn't be right to leave the best girl home on a Saturday night.
Back in the 50s, one out of three songs had God in them. Here's a taste.
Devil or angel, I can't make up my mind. Which one you are, I'd like to wake up and find. Devil or angel, you are, I miss you, I miss you. Devil or angel, please say you'll be mine. Love me or leave me, I'll go out of my mind. Devil or angel, dear, whichever you are, I need you. Like an angel, your smile is divine, but you keep me guessing, will you ever be mine? Devil or angel, please say you'll be mine. Love me or leave me, I made up my mind. Devil or angel,
every church parish had a dance. You could go to a dance at Corpus Christi in 125th Street. You could go to a dance at the Good Shepherd. One of my first introductions to parish dances where they kept an eye out for the devil was at Good Shepherd. And I walked into Good Shepherd and they were doing a rock and roll doo-wop. And at break time, they would switch over to a Latin sound. And I've always enjoyed a combination of rock and roll and Latin sounds.
The number one Latin sound at the time, pronounced by the gringos, was mambo. Mambo. And yeah, do a mambo. And I'm going to play you now the Speak Up a Mambo. Dances were the fish and the grind. Yeah. And, oh, sweet memories. Quick, turn the lights out.
Why do I tell myself
these things that happen are already true? When in my heart I know the magic is my love for you. Song begins, you speak, and I hear violins. It's magic.
It's magic.
The soft desert disguise and rush to nestle in your eyes. It's magic. When I am in your arms. wonderland. It's magic. How else can I explain those rainbows when there is no rain? It's magic. Why do I tell myself these things that have been are all really true? When in my heart I know the magic is my love for you.
Remember, 1950, that's 5 years after the end of World War II, America is feeling its Cheerios. America is on top of the world. There's still a military draft. Guys in my neighborhood, if they waited until their time to be called was due, they would be 26 years old before the Selective Service Board could get to them. So many used to volunteer for the draft, and they would push up their draft so they could come out of high school and go right into the service. And in my neighborhood, in the 50s, on the weekends, it looked like a military base. Everybody was in the service. Everybody. There were very few exceptions. Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, everybody, you could see them coming home for the weekend. If you served in Germany, the big expression was, I can't wait to get home to the land of the round doorknob.
Just touched ground on an international runway.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
all leave us surely. I mean, every neighborhood had a gang. Not as dangerous as the gangs that are out there today, because drugs is part of the gang violence today, and that means guns, that means rub-outs, that means fighting for bloody turf. These gangs were more like social clubs with brass knuckles. And no matter what neighborhood you were from, you had a gang. The Jewish guys up in Fort Washington, they were the Blackhawks. The Italian guys over on Fordham Road were the Fordham Baldies and the Jolly Stompers. In High Bridge, they had the Junior Reichs. They took their father's Eisenhower jackets and dyed them black. So they had the Ikes and the Junior Reichs. In my neighborhood, there was the Gales and the Baby Gales. Down around 160th Street were the Fanwood Rockets. They started out as a hockey team. If you went down to 125th Street, you had a white gang called the Maharajas. If you came up to 155th Street, there was a white gang called the Graveyard Boys. The black guys had gangs called the Egyptian Kings, the Romans. Around 175th Street was a gang called the Beacons. And then there's the Spanish on down around 175th Street were called the Los Diablos. So we were a multicultural melting pot. and this was before people were smoking melting pots. This is before. This is when people, you had booze and that was it. Yeah, there was some drugs. You know, there was always somebody trying to become the marketeer for the neighborhood. But most guys that drank did not tolerate junkies. They didn't like them. Later on, the junkies succeeded in breaking down that tolerance, intolerance. But there was a period there right after World War II, I would say... the 1960, where America was drug-free, and people used to go steady. You know, the only hookup you could make would be to a lamppost and swing from the rope. If you had any bad intentions and you went to call on the farmer's daughter in my neighborhood, her father, who was a detective and had five sons, they would take you up to the roof and show you what the street looked like below. And then they would say, Patricia has to be home by 10 o'clock. Not a minute later. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It doesn't mean you couldn't hug and kiss, though. There was a singer back then named Johnny Ray, and he had a couple of hit tunes, A Little White Cloud That Cried, Cry, and he was deaf in one ear. He used to wear one of those hearing aids. But he's the one that, he was a heartthrob. Women loved him. He was a crooner, like Frankie Lane. And I never knew this, but Frankie Lane was also hard of hearing. He was deaf in one ear, and that's why he sang so loud. Frankie Lane's father was Frankie Lane was from Chicago. His father was a barber. He used to cut Al Capone's hair. Frankie Lane did some nice religious tunes. Frankie Lane did all the westerns, you know, Blazing Saddles, Gunfight at the OK Corral. Yeah, Frankie Lane was good. He was a clean living guy. Here's Johnny Ray, Walking My Baby Back Home. And if you're not familiar with the word petting, petting was a big thing in the 50s. Ask your grandma.
Let me tell you a little story about me and my baby. But it's great after being out late, walking my baby back home. Arm in arm over meadow and farm, walking my baby back home. We go along harmonizing a song, or I'm reciting a poem. Guys go by, they give her the eye, walking my baby back home. We stop for a while, she gives me a smile, then snuggles her head to my chest. We started to pet, but that's when I guess her powder all over my vest. That's when I kinda straighten my tie, she has to borrow my clothes. One kiss, then I continue again, walking my baby back home. So she cried, I dried her tears all through the night, hand in hand to a barbecue stand, right from a doorway we rode. And then I continued again, walking my baby back home, walking my baby, talking my baby, walking. Walking my baby back home.
That's not Johnny Ray, but it's just as good. So let me take you, we'll do a little slow dance.
John's in love with Joan.
John's in love with Joan. Joan's in love with Jim. Jim's in love with someone who's not in love with him. What was meant to be.
Must be.
C'est la vie, c'est
anything when it comes to love. You don't always conquer the one you're dreaming of. As they say in old Paris, c'est la vie. No one's gonna cry, though he stole her love from me. C'est la vie,
That's life. On Sunday afternoons after church, there was a place over by the Throgs Neck Bridge that used to have afternoon dances. And the women were beautiful. And I got to tell you, I never seen so many people who could dance. And I'm talking about some fantastic ballroom type dancing. And of course, the priests were there with the shillelaghs to keep everybody in line. And It was a treat. It was, you know, when you're in your prime and you're making time and life is as inexpensive as one thin dime, it's almost a crime.
When they heard me pray, the angels listened in. When they heard me say, please send me someone to love. Send the one I'm thinking of, my darling. The angels sent you. The angels listened in. When they heard me cry, there's no denying they sent one with lovely charm, one who really thrilled my arms, my darling. When the angel sends you, I search everywhere just to find someone who cares. They came down to interrupt just as I had given up.
Tell me what you see. to the folks I used to know, remember me. Look homeward, angel, find my lady fair. Does she dream about the love we used to share? So she'll know how very much I miss her. Angel, while she's dreaming, won't you kiss her? Know, do her empty arms still yearn for me alone? So she'll know how very much I miss her. Angel, while she's dreaming, won't you kiss her? So